can hear me now. So, yeah, I have a little head cold. I was a little nervous about doing this with the cold and being on cold medicine and everything. And then as the songs kept going, I got more nervous. Gave me more time. I was thinking, just get me up there. But, I really appreciate these opportunities to do this as much as when I was called to do it. It made me nervous even right then. But I know that these are so good for me to, dive into the scriptures and try to get something out of there maybe I hadn't seen before or learn more about a subject, whatever it may be. And so that's where we're at. You're gonna hear my new knowledge, whatever that may be. And barring the cold medicine, I hope I can get through it without being too foggy up here. You may see a couple of pauses here and there, but that's just me. So our story tonight is going to come from the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 13. It'd be good if you had your Bibles out because we're going to do some reading in there. I'm going to try to skip some of those verses and for a little bit of brevity, and keep the thought rolling. A little background as to where we're at. Israel, of course, was held captive by Egypt, and Moses got them out of there God through Moses gets them out. I'm already putting somebody to sleep back there. Saw some yawns. It's nighttime. Moses is the one that God uses to lead them out, but through the 10 plagues, the power that God was able to show, ended up conquering the nation of Egypt to do that, to get them out. Then they go to Mount Sinai. He gives them the law, and they're there, and they get the 10 commandments, first written law to these people who are there, who are the Israelites. They've been there over a year now, and at this point in Numbers, they're just about to be commissioned to go spy out the land that God had promised them in the past. And so, this story, I wanted to focus on Caleb. We've heard Joshua and Caleb are the two spies that we like, and the other 10 are the ones that we don't like so much. And God makes that very clear in his estimation of them as well. So Caleb, though, is mentioned a few times, and his faith is pointed out in these sections. And so it's just neat to see. So let's first skip over and look at Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. There's a statement about Caleb that is the reason that I wanted to do this. "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." He didn't mention Joshua. Joshua was also going to be included in that too. But Caleb was pointed out for his different spirit and his full faith. So that's the story we're going to look at tonight. So now let's go back to chapter 13, and we'll start in verse 1. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them.' So Moses sent them out from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel." Now skip down to verse 17. "So Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell there, that dwell in it, are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, or whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage, and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes." So notice the to-do list that he has for these 12 spies to go do. They're to go and see what the land is like and bring back a report. The list is, are the people strong or are they weak? Are they few? Are they many? Is it good land? Is it bad land? The cities, are they like camps? Are they just buildings strewn about? Or are they strongholds with walls and fortified fortresses? Is the land rich or poor? Is there prosperity there in the land? Are there forests or not? I'm assuming probably because you'd be able to build with the wood in there. And then he says, be of good courage. bring back some of the examples of the fruit, because it's grape season. God wants to lead them into this land, and he wants to send them out, and all he wants is a report back for this spying out the land. Of course, they're gone 40 days, and the report comes. Chapter 13 still, in verse 25. Yeah, skip down to verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in it, in the land, are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So they come back with this report that the people are large and mighty and numerous, and they're strong, and their cities are fortified. So not like camps, like they were maybe hoping for. The fact that it said that the land devours its own is that these cities would tend to fight against each other. All these nations were there, so they'd fight against each other. So they were fortified and they were armed and ready for war all the time, because they were used to battles. So for them to go in, it would be obvious that it's going to be a tough conquer in that case. The giants were mentioned. It could also mean mighty men. That they had a mighty stature and strong. And they made them feel small. They felt outnumbered. Maybe this isn't such a good idea. They felt weak in comparison. Who am I to go in there and conquer these people? And to them, I think it seemed like a hopeless situation, like attacking a boulder with a pocket knife. In their minds, it just wouldn't feel like something they could do. These things seemed obvious to them, but Caleb says, "Calm down. We can take this. We have the ability." And he explains why later. But they said, "No, they are stronger than we." They forgot all the things that we mentioned in the beginning, that God had led them out. Remember the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night that God led them by out of Egypt? And all this time, he's been among them and shown them all this power. And they've been able to see, literally, that God is with them. And yet they look at this mighty territory and all these men, and they've forgotten that God is in their midst. All the congregation speaks up, and they forget where they've come from and how they got to that point. So before we jump on them, let's read, I guess I did jump on them a little bit, but let's read chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. "Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness.'" They actually are saying, that would have been better. "Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Pretty cool attitude that Caleb and Joshua show there. The way that they see that God has provided for them. When they said that these people are bread for us. They've already built the houses. They've already built the towns and the cities and all that stuff. And they're going to provide for us. And we will conquer because God's with us. But before we jump on them, like I said earlier, some things to think about if you were in that situation. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to say, boy, those other people, they're really, you know, silly in the way they're thinking. They're forgetting God. But the obvious things, the things that stand out before them, they have fortified walls. Who knew that marching around the walls and playing trumpets and shouting would make those walls fall down? There's no logic to that. Who knew that a whole army that was going to go against them would wake up in the morning so frightened that they would kill each other before them, and they don't have to touch any of them? The army kills themselves. And who knew that all these people had been hearing about this conquering nation that's coming toward them, that God is leading, and they feared the Israelites? That fear was in them. They really were poised to conquer, but they'd forgotten who was with them. They wanted to choose another leader, as it says in verse 4, forgetting that God's been trying to lead them. You know, if you just picture that pillar and all that, they didn't go ahead of it. They didn't go around it. They followed it. When it picked up and moved, they followed it and ended up wherever it went. God was going to take them into that land and lead them and be their conqueror. Instead, the crowd chooses these things. They cower. It's kind of an inaction. Let's just not go. That's one thing. But the reaction is instead, let's go back to where we were. Sounds like something that some people do not too long after they become Christians. Sometimes we have a tendency to go back to where we were. Caleb knew that battles are not easy. He knew that it would be a hard road. Trusting God's path. He pleads for them not to rebel in this. But to follow God takes faith and trust in His promises. That, you know, you have hope if He makes a promise. And that's one of the keys of the story. He said, "I'm going to give this land to you." So they needed to learn to trust Him in that. Having a different spirit can lead to trouble in our lives. Can be a rough road, like I said. You know, I think Caleb understood this. Sometimes we go to the Sierras, go camping up there or something, and some of the neat things you'll see, you see forests and things, you see even, you know, cinder from volcanic activity, all kinds of stuff. But to watch the way life can grow, trees and things, in places where it's really unlikely. You see big granite faces like in Yosemite and stuff where it's just a lot of rock. And here's these trees growing out of these little cracks in the rock here and there in a very unlikely spot. And you think about that tree and you go, wow, that thing's a survivor. It's not like all the trees in down by the rivers and the streams where it's always real green and the trees are huge and everything. These are craggly little trees that are all crooked and the wind's been blowing them in a direction. But you know they've gotten a root that went down somewhere in the crack there and it searched out nutrients and moisture and, you know, it just keeps keeping on. Keep that in your head and we'll talk about that in a minute again. So we haven't read verse 10 yet in chapter 14. Let's read 10 and 11. "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones," speaking of Caleb and Joshua. That's quite a reaction. You guys are way too positive. Let's kill him. That's just funny. There's only two of them, too, you know. Why kill him? I don't understand. How long will they not believe me? Oh, I jumped ahead. Sorry. Stone them with stones. Verse 10. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before the children of Israel. And that must have been a sight. Right when they said, let's stone them with stones. You know, there's God popping up however he would, appearing in the tabernacle of meeting. Verse 11, and the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of you a greater nation and mightier than they. And then Moses pleads with God, and God actually repents of that particular thing. But, where am I? Okay, so keep that in your thoughts there. So I wanted to ask a question. So what are Christians commissioned to do? These 12 spies were commissioned to go spy out the land and then to go take it. The whole congregation was told to go and go into the land and take it. What are we commissioned to do? We have the thing that everybody calls the Great Commission. We're supposed to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If it ever feels hopeless, maybe you're faced with a crowd that is fortified in their ways. Maybe it could be your family. It could be the college that you go to, the school, your work environment, you know, social environment. Standing out like that, like Caleb and Joshua, makes you pretty unpopular at times. It can be a hard road. You can feel outnumbered, and you know there's power in numbers. Who am I? Who am I to stand up to all of these people who believe in evolution or whatever it may be? They seem pretty smart. You feel like you're attacking a boulder with a pocket knife sometimes. But doesn't God show us that that's not an impossibility? Kind of like that tree, you know, that we talked about, that grows among the rocks and things. If you've seen a few of those, sometimes you'll see where it split the boulder in two, giant boulder, and a big piece of it has come off and the root is now exposed, and that big piece is laying below it. That tree just kept growing, and that root, you know, expanded to the point that it just split that rock in two. The tree won out. And God is like that in our lives. He can give us the strength, years of growing, and eventually we can overpower the rock and change its course and become the victorious one and end up with the promised land. Caleb had to bear the burden 40 years because of all the other people. His perseverance shows in that he still stayed faithful. I really like that because God's punishment to all those other spies, of course, they died immediately. He gave them a plague. The other 10 spies died quickly. But all the people that were over 20 years old were not going to enter the land except Joshua and Caleb. Those are the only two that got to go in that were over that age. He was 40 years old at that time. And by the time he inherited land, we get to see over in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. I thought this was great. I had no idea. Just this one thing I'll tell you right after we read it. It's kind of neat. Get you excited. That's your little, what do they call that? Teaser. That's it. Yeah. It's coming. We're going to read 6 through 12, or 6 through 14, sorry. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden and shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. That's pretty old. Right? I looked at Matt for that one. As yet, this is the one right here, verse 11. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me. You feel that way, Matt? No. God did something there, right? He's as strong as he was the day Moses sent him 45 years ago. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord had said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Okay, so here's the cool thing. 85 years old, strong enough to conquer. He did it at 85 years old. He went in and won that battle. Because it says he got it. And those giants and their fortified cities were there, right? He was basically saying, remember that? Everybody said it couldn't be done. I'm 85 and I'm going to take that land. That's some faith that is just so impressive to me. You know, he knew that if he always followed God against all odds, that everything would work out for him. Basically, God's promises will be fulfilled. We have a promised land that we are promised. As he chose the only path, trusting in God, and it led to his promised land, that's the kind of choice that we need to make. We don't want to choose another leader. That was interesting too, that they wanted to choose another leader. They didn't want to go with God anymore. They wanted to go back to Egypt where it seemed easier to them, not realizing what that would even mean. Each day we have choices to make. If we are going to choose not to follow God's path, we don't realize it, but we are choosing another leader. And there's only two choices. It's God or Satan. So if we choose to go a path other than what God has given us, which is from the Scripture, then we're choosing to follow Satan in that. Let's be like Caleb and always follow God and let God be our leader. Let him take us to the promised land. So at this time, we're going to have a song that's going to be sung. And this is our opportunity now to invite you, if there's anything we can do for you, if you'd like to study the Bible, if you don't already know it. We'd love to do that with you. If you want to be baptized, we can talk about that at that time too. Or if you just need the prayers of the congregation, some kind of help. Let's all stand and sing together and come forward at that time if you need that.